purpose for healing. And then we're going to pick back up on that in our next session. So for now, we're going to continue this session, this lesson, in the next session. Amen and amen.
This is what we'd like to call you, Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
you died to save man. The tea.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
For just a moment, I want to call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. I want to lift it out of this text, these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Begin reading now. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want to talk about the liberty of the new covenant. Paul is dealing with a reference of both the old and the new covenants. He's dealing with the reality of what was in the Old Testament as he begins in the first verses of this chapter. And he's making clear that with what had happened in the old covenant, the glory of the old covenant was beginning to fade. It was beginning to fade because the glory of the old covenant had a prescription in it which said that we had to fulfill, those who were living under the law, every one of those laws, or if one was broken, it was as if all of them were broken. The glory of the Old Testament was fading because the people did not adhere to their part in the covenant. God honors agreement, and God keeps his agreement. But when we enter into covenant agreement with God, we have the right and the responsibility to not only know what the covenant says, but to do what the covenant says. And not to do what the covenant says means that we have broken our agreement that we are in with God. And so as a result of that, that covenant began to lose its glory because God could not uphold his end when the people did not uphold their end. God gave them the right to hear and adhere to what he had entered into agreement with them to do. You know how Israel was stiff-necked, how they were hard-hearted, how they were disobedient, how they wanted to do things their way instead of God's way, how they turned to idol gods, how they made their own rules and broke God's rules, how they did what they wanted to do when they wanted to do it, how when God would bless them, they would stop praising God and going to praise the things that they had done and accomplished, making themselves more than what they truly were. And yet when they got in trouble, they called on God. Now God being a merciful God, God being a long-suffering God, God did put some things in place because he knew the nature of his own people. Isn't it strange that how the people you do the most for sometimes can be the folk who treat you the worst? The people you pull up and help out and give a handout to seem to be the most unappreciative and most ungrateful ingrates, forgetting quickly what you've done for them until they need you again. But again, the glory of the old covenant was going out. It was getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until God put in place a new covenant that could only be ratified by Jesus Christ and the completed work at Calvary, when he would die on the cross, shed his blood, give his life up for each and every one of us who would accept him and enter into the new covenant. The new covenant is important because if you would go back to Exodus 34, beginning at that 29th verse all the way through the 35th verse, it would explain what Paul was talking about, because it was dealing with Moses when he had gone to the mountain and got the Ten Commandments. He was in the presence of the Lord, in God's presence. The glory of the Lord shone upon Moses' face, till his face was with such great brilliance that the people could not stand to look on Moses. They feared him and they ran from him. So what Moses did was he put a veil over his face and called the people to come back so that he could share with them what God wanted them to know, and to share with them the covenant that God was willing to make with them. And so it's all about understanding what that veil meant in the presence of God. You remember when God would show up in his Shekinah glory in the tabernacle, and the ministers couldn't minister for that glory that came down. And with that glory was a great smoke that was like a cloud that caused men not to be able to see the presence of God, because God is a holy God. And if an unholy person looks at a holy God, they cannot live. So God buffered it by putting a smoke as a smoke screen, as a veil between him and the people, so that he could minister to them in such a way, and they to him, without being killed. Well, now you've got to recognize that that was what Moses symbolized when he wore the veil over his face. He had been in the presence of the Lord and become changed. Can I tell you, whenever you get in God's presence, you won't be the same. I don't care what you were before, but once you get in his presence, something about King Jesus that makes you feel good, something about King Jesus that ministers to the deeper part of you, your existence, your soul, something about his presence, his holiness, his righteousness that changes your very countenance. And people can tell you've been with the Lord when you've been in his presence. It changes you. You don't change it. Let me say that again. It changes you. You don't change it. It'll make you cry when ain't nothing wrong. It'll make you run when ain't nobody behind you. It'll make you laugh when ain't nothing funny. It'll make you cry when ain't nothing wrong. It'll cause some effects to happen within you because there is something about Jesus and his presence that's transforming in its glory. And so we need to understand that that's what God wanted us to ultimately have. The new covenant that comes through Jesus Christ that brings to us in that 18th verse the transforming glory of the New Testament or the new covenant, so that we can understand the more we're in his presence, the more we become like him. I said, the more we're in his presence, the more we become like him. Our thoughts change. Our feelings change. Our actions change. Our discussions change. Everything about us becomes less about us and more about him. And here's what happened. The transforming glory of the Spirit of God comes upon us and makes us more like him. So let's go back to the 17th verse, and I'll be ending it soon. Here's what it says. Now the Lord is that Spirit. What Spirit? It's talking about the Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead. When it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, here's what Paul meant. It meant that the Spirit is God. Just like the Son is God, just like the Father is God. All three are one God with three distinct personalities. All three of them are in one. I told the earlier church I had a little Swiss knife when I was a young boy, and it had three different instruments on there. When I pull out one of the instruments on that knife, it was a blade, and I could cut things with the blade. I fold the blade out and I pull out a screwdriver, and I could fix things with the screwdriver. And then when I put it back, there was a cork so that I can uncork bottles. When I had no need for the cork that I knew of, because at that age, I didn't have anything that I needed to pull the cork out. But being a Swiss knife, it was a cold region, and almost all of the beverages had corks in them to preserve the content in those. They didn't have a tab where you could flip it open like a 12-ounce can or a screw top where you screw off the top. Because the weather was so cold, it required corks to insulate the bottle. But the cork with the corkscrew, and whether it was medicine or whether it was a beverage or whether it was something else, don't act like you don't know what corkscrews go in America. Yeah, it made it available to the person who had the ability to pop the cork. And so I'm trying to say, I had all of these three different instruments in one utensil. All three made that knife complete as a Swiss knife. What am I saying? That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all three distinct personalities, but one God. The Spirit is the Lord's Spirit, and the Spirit is God. That's so important to recognize because of this personal point that needs to be made. If you know that this Spirit isn't just any Spirit, but it is God's Spirit, it is a part of the Godhead, then it means the essence of who God is in that Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit. That Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Yep. Yeah. The Holy Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is. Notice it's present tense, not past tense. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, present tense. Now I need you to understand this part. Because with his presence comes his purpose. Yeah. And you need to know afresh that when God's presence, you are in his presence, it is there that he reveals his purpose. Listen, people can't design their own purpose, not if they're truly going to be in the will of God. It is only in the presence of God that you not design your purpose, but discover your purpose. Because he reveals it to you in his presence. The more you study the word of God, the more reality of God's revelation, his revealing of himself, of his mind, of who he is, how he works, what he does, becomes clearer to you. You begin to know the operation of the Spirit of God and be able to know how God operates. That's why the Bible says that we should know the Spirit. Some say try the Spirit, by the Spirit. But the Bible doesn't say try the Spirit by the Spirit. Here's the problem with trying the Spirit by the Spirit. If my spirit is wrong and your spirit is wrong, then they are going to agree. The only way they would disagree if my spirit is right and your spirit is wrong. But if both of our spirits are right or wrong, they will agree. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you ever gotten in the presence of somebody and they were talking some talk that your spirit just didn't agree with? They were saying some things that God's word didn't agree with. And you say, that ain't right. No, I can't receive that. I'm not saying, well, I'm telling you, that's a fact. A fact of what? A fact of wrongness?
Because the Bible says, let God be true and all men be liars. If God doesn't say it in his word, it's a lie as far as I'm concerned, because he's the only one who knows the beginning, the middle, and the end, and he can do whatever he chooses to do, and he's not a man that he should lie. And when we trust him, we have the benefit of him working it out in our favor. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his what? You see, in God's presence, his purpose is revealed. It's sad that so many saints have membership role, but they don't have their names on the Lamb's Book of Life. They don't have relationship with Jesus Christ. And they wonder why they're so empty. They wonder why things just don't seem to work out for them. Oh, don't get me wrong. Even when you belong to the Lord, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. Jesus said, in this world, as long as you're in this world, ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome. And here's what you need to know. If you are in Christ Jesus and he has overcome, you, by virtue of your position, are an overcomer also. Because I am in him, and he is the conqueror, it makes me more than a conqueror. When a man goes out and earns a paycheck and brings it home to his wife to pay the bills and buy the groceries and do this, that, and the other, now the man has gone out and conquered, but the woman is more than a conqueror. You women gonna catch that in a minute. Because she didn't have to go out there and sweat. And she didn't have to go out there and labor like he had to do. Not to say that housework wasn't a laborious job in itself, and a woman's job is truly never done. But it's a different kind of job. Yeah. She's not subject to the ills and the issues that her husband may be subject to on the outside. She's on the inside. And when he brings in the spoils of his victory, she says, now we need to pay this, and we need to pay that, and we need to pay that. And oh, yeah, I need some of this and some of that. She's more than a conqueror because of her position in him. That's the same way it is with us in Christ. Because he is an overcomer, because he is a victor, because he is a conqueror, in him we are all of those things. And so, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, the last thing I want you to see is how he provides access. And a lot of times when we think about liberty, we think more in excess than access. But Paul is speaking more of access here, because we have access to the new covenant. We have access to the new and better benefits. We have access to what Jesus Christ has provided for all those of us who have accepted him as Lord and Savior. We have access to every benefit He is the heir, and we are joint heirs with Christ. So think about for just a moment what he is privy to. What he's privy to. What belongs to him. What he's got. And, well, let me put it another way. Let's say Jesus opened up a checking account. And he said, because we are joint heirs, I'm going to put on this checking account your name.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not going to put Jesus Christ and John Montgomery. I'm going to put Jesus Christ or John Montgomery.
Yeah.
So that means when I see something I need, and it falls within the realm of the covenant agreement, I don't even have to call him up and ask him, can I have it? All I got to do is take out my check that he has already pre-authorized. And because we're joint heirs, all I got to do is sign my name. And when they check heaven's record, Jesus said, it's done. I've co-signed on that already. All is well. And my brothers and sisters, that's the kind of new covenant benefits we share and have access to. And it goes from glory to glory to glory. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was on the outer parts of them, among them. But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. He is a gift. But one of the things I loved about the Lord in the Old Testament is he always continued to show them that the best was yet to come. And those who lived the righteous life, the good life, who trusted God, who prayed to God, who obeyed God, had the blessings of God on their lives. You remember the three Hebrew boys, don't you? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you remember that the king had set up a golden image and wanted everybody to bow down to that image. And there were three distinct things about the Hebrew boys who honored God and honored no one else in God's place. Three things that I want you to hold on to if you don't remember. One, they would not bend. Tell your neighbor they wouldn't bend. They would not bend the righteous will of God for man's will. They knew that God was their God and there were no other gods beside him.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.